Elise Castle, we have so much to talk about.
Mike Jensen, we have a lot to talk about.
But we got
to
do it kind of quickly, so we're going to dive right in. Do you have anything you need to say ahead of time?
No, not in relation to Sex and the City. I don't think we have any buttholes really from last week, but I'm sure they'll come up if I do.
So we're here today to talk about Seeing the Light. It is the, let's go ahead and say, season one finale of And Just Like That. It first aired February 3rd, 2022.
I would hope that with the amount of cliffhangers that they gave us, that this is a season finale.
That's funny. We'll get into it. I didn't feel like there were any cliffhangers. I felt like this could easily be a one and done.
Oh, all right.
I don't want it to be, but it felt very encapsulated to me. I get where they can go with it. But
right.
Anyway, so it was written by Michael Patrick King and Julia Rottenberg, ampersands Elisa Zaritsky, and directed by Nisha Ganatra. And we start out at a podcast recording.
Yeah, where they're discussing here, this podcast recording is very, like, actory. And I know sometimes you and I can get a bit actory with our podcasting, but yeah, this was very, very, very actory.
Well, it also, you know where it's going really quickly, because Bobby says that someone got COVID to avoid breaking up in person. Che was broken up with on FaceTime. Someone who was so sweet that it should have been on two FaceTime. Yeah, it's very performative. We're having a breakup off, and we all know where this is going.
Do we? Because what I thought, and actually what I heard from many people that thought this, was that she was going to say, I got broke up with on a Post-it once.
Oh, no. I 100% knew that she was going to say, my husband died. And I kind of wanted to say, that's not really a breakup. I know that we get to, like, death, the ultimate breakup. I'm going to call this is a cute scene that doesn't really make a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, and also it would have been a great moment for them to do the whole thing about Burger.
Yeah, that almost would have been more satisfying, but it's fine.
Yeah, so death is the ultimate breakup.
Yeah, and they go to take a call and there's no one on the line because, as Bobby says, they all killed themselves.
Yeah, a little bit. What a happy line he could get up there.
And then we get to Carrie in her closet and telling Big that she's going on a date. And we don't see the date, which I kind of like that we get to, it's the end of the date. They made it all the way through dinner. And we find out that he Googled her. And of course, she makes a murderer joke.
And did you notice, though, before this, that Carrie grabs the shoes from her closet? No, of course you didn't notice this. I did, though. Carrie grabs the shoes from her closet. And there is a curling iron possibly plugged in the bathroom that we see. And I'm just really hoping that Carrie unplugged it before she left the house.
She probably did.
I don't know.
So he found out that she's a New York Times bestselling author. And is it weird that he admitted to Googling her and she Googled him too?
Yeah. Always, always Google your dates before you go on them, women.
Yeah. It would never occur to me to do that. And I have massive trust issues.
Yeah. I mean, you're not a woman, but, like, yes. And also in this age of dating, too, you also self-proclaimed haven't been doing the dating app thing. And things have changed.
I was going to say, I haven't gone on a date since 1973. So
right. And also what I thought was interesting was he's like a New York Times bestselling author, as if he didn't know. And it's like, didn't he just attend the date auction where they said, like, you will win a date with, you know, I feel like there was some bio there.
Maybe he came in after the selling point was made. Yeah, who knows? That is a fair point, though.
Yeah.
And then he asks to kiss her, which, you know, I don't know. What do you think about that?
Well, I think that that's nice to do. I think that's a very important thing. You know, consent is sexy. And I do think that a lot of women actually find it very attractive when a guy is like, may I kiss you? And I think he's also doing it because he knows they're both widows and knows that this may be Carrie's first kiss post Big.
Yes. And he thinks they did pretty okay for two heartbroken people. And we cut to Seema and Zed in bed with their very new iPhones. Didn't it feel like a little iPhone commercial a little bit?
I noticed the cigarettes more than the iPhones, but
okay.
Yeah, I mean, and this was, and I have to be honest and make a confession myself, because I just texted Mike this the other day, that I didn't realize until this episode, like, Seema, it's a version of Samantha.
My only eye roll in return was just, are we going to hear that for the entire episode now?
No. I just caught up because, like, everyone was like, I think Seema's the new Samantha. And I was like, yeah. And then I was like, wait, I bet you that was part of their thought process. Yeah. So she's in bed with Zed, the guy, right? That's his name.
Yes.
From the guy who is this tables, as I like to think of him. What is this tables? Sorry. And Carrie's laying in bed with, like, a New Year's Eve crown on a shelf above her, which is just interesting. I like all the set dressings for Carrie's apartment. And I love that Zed calls her boss. which I've told this story before about how the guys at the deli by my old apartment used to call me boss.
Yeah, I guess my thing is, so Carrie has called and how did it go? And Seema wants details and it's sort of, you know, charming, lovely, awful, nervous. And in the middle of their conversation, he says, "You hungry, boss?" And I'm like, she's on the phone.
Yeah, but she also says they haven't left that hotel in 3 days, which a few things. That room, I'm just thinking, it must just stink. Like, all that smoking, all that sex, all that stuff. Alan Cumming years ago had a fragrance called Cumming the Fragrance, and it was supposed to smell like cigarettes, nightclubs, sex. And I was like, that's probably, they should just bottle up Seema and Zed's room.
It's just the room, yeah. And Carrie says that she'll let Seema go, but Seema wants to know about the kiss. And it's not how Carrie remembered it. And then Seema and Zed, it's fine. Listen, I'm not against passion. I'm not against, but like, she's on the phone. Like, do you want to wait for like a second before you start?
Not in their moment, because they are in a passionate moment. And I do think that like sometimes, you know, she was like, it was his lips on my lips. And sometimes when you don't really know someone, like that's what it's gonna be, you know? I mean, unless there's like this deep infatuation or unless there's like this, you know, love, sometimes it is just his lips on my lips, especially when you're both going through a traumatic experience.
Yeah, so the phone call kind of ends and Carrie goes to sleep and her light comes on.
With the wistful, my subtitles say wistful music, which is...
Do, 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 yeah. Do, do, do.
Anytime something sad happens in my life now, I'm just going to start going like... Do, 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 do. Yes, and Ghost Big turns on the lights and Carrie's like, what? Of course. And then we get to, well, she thinks it's Ghost Big.
Yeah, she thinks that Big is mad at her. And we're at lunch with the three ladies. And here we are. We haven't seen this coffee shop in a while.
Is it the same one?
Yep. They rebuilt the old coffee shop.
Wow.
It's not even the coffee shop really from the movies, which was like a fancier version of the coffee shop. They rebuilt the series coffee shop just for this scene, just for, to get us back in the coffee shop.
Yeah.
Me too. It was fun. And this scene is going to be so old school. We're going to have the whole thing of like, what's going on in your life? And we're going to set up back in the day. That was how the plots always started. Someone said, this is what's happening in my life. What about you? And I love that for the last episode of this.
And it's interesting you say that because I can't believe I didn't realize where they were. And I guess it's just because I haven't been paying attention like so much about what the past. I'm like trying to stay in the present, you know, that's actually a good sign of therapy working too. But one thing I did notice for the first time in the series and just like that was the salt and pepper shakers only at 70%. Some things don't change.
Yeah. And Carrie says that she kissed Peter last night. And basically like Miranda's just not sold on this whole idea.
Right. And she says that Big is mad at her and he's in the lamp. And I'm like, is Big now going to perform a number from Aladdin? Like, what's happening here? We get three wishes from Mr. Big. Miranda, yes. Number one, she looks like Jane Lynch in Glee in this outfit. I don't know what it is. But she is appalled that Carrie chooses to believe Big may be in heaven. Can we talk about this for a minute?
Sure.
I just found it so interesting because Carrie just alludes to the fact that this is Miranda acts very strangely this whole episode, but Carrie just alludes to the fact that like Big up there or, you know, and Miranda could not imagine it. She's just like, we've never heard Miranda so upset about someone talking about the other life that we have in this moment.
Yeah, Carrie thinks Big is on a cloud smoking a cigar, and if that's what gives her comfort, then that's fine. And if you can't disprove it, it's possible, and I can't disprove the Easter Bunny. And part of me is like, I think we actually probably could disprove the Easter Bunny.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there actually is, you know, my brother's a pastor, and he has his master's in apologetics, and he teaches classes on, like, theology, and they can actually prove a lot of things in the Bible, right? That actually happened. Now, whether or not you choose to believe all of it is your choice, but there are certain historical events that have actually happened. The Easter Bunny, I have yet to see any historical proof of.
Yeah. So I'm not sure it's exactly the right analogy, but you know, basically Miranda's like, it's just guilt, get it fixed.
The food comes and the most outrageous thing that I have ever seen them do in a restaurant happens in this moment. Carrie just takes the pancakes off of the server's tray.
Yeah, I did notice that.
Like, if you're a server, number one, those big trays are an art in order to carry them. I used to have to do that when I worked in Times Square. She just grabs it off. She's lucky that you know, Charlotte's fruit bowl didn't just land in her lap.
It does seem like the server is, like, leaning into it, though. I was a little bit confused about the service policy.
Yeah, the whole thing is strange that server's like, hold on, let me just get the tray closer to the table so you can all take what you want, as if it's some sort of, like, buffet. I don't know. Is this what they do in dim sum? Like, when they, like, roll the card around and you just kind of, like...
Yeah.
Take what you want.
I don't know. It was strange, but I do know one thing for sure, and that is that Sarah Jessica Parker is not going to eat all of those pancakes.
No, you're always convinced that she doesn't eat those things.
I'm convinced that she does not eat any carbs. And Miranda says that Che has asked her out to dinner with their family.
Mm-hmm.
And Charlotte is excited, and Carrie and I love that she is still that girl.
That Charlotte is?
Yeah, that Charlotte is so excited about it.
Charlotte, I mean, I've said this from the beginning, Charlotte is the one character that, like, really is Charlotte the whole time. She is so true to herself.
I agree, but we're going to get to a thing that I think both proves the point and not disproves it, but adds something lovely to it, I think. And mm-hmm. And Charlotte gets a message, and the trans rabbi is in, and they've already had two rabbis drop out because of family emergencies. And I assumed that the euphemism of family emergency was that they didn't want to do a they mitzvah. And I was I'm not crazy about that, but we'll get more to that later. Do you have anything more on this scene?
No, I mean, the trans rabbi is in for the day mitzvah. And the thing about it, too, that I thought was strange is because I know a few people that have converted to Judaism because they were raised in a religious household that was not supportive of the LGBTQ community. And they found that support in the Jewish community. So I was like, oh, I didn't. Okay. That's interesting.
You didn't say it wrong. Like, your pronunciation is totally fine. But something about you saying Judaism really sounds like it's about Judy Garland. And I don't 100% know why.
You don't know why? Me saying that would be... How about the fact that I have a press packet from A Star Is Born in my bathroom just framed on the wall right now?
Maybe that's what it is.
And how about the fact that when I was saying Judaism, A Miracle of Judaism from Falsettos was just playing in my brain the whole time. So, like, yeah. You're right, but yeah. That's not what I was
That is
about.
What you meant, yeah. No. So, Carrie's at home with her phone texting Samantha, not mm-hmm. Sam Rudolph. I had to, like, pause and see what else was on her phone. I thought it was, like, a clue to why this phone is still being used, but she's just looked up Sam, and there's a Sam Rudolph in her life, apparently.
Mm.
And their back and forth is pretty simple. It's, I kissed a man, the first of many. How was it? It wasn't big, so it was small. And I can hear Kim Cattrall saying it. Like, I can hear her voice saying that line and just want to talk and soon. And that's kind of it.
And I liked that because it really made me think that, like, that line we've said before, that boundaries are not necessarily for cutting people out of your life. They're for keeping them in. And in this moment, it was, you know, that Miranda or Samantha was just like, I'm not ready yet. You know, I'm trying to figure this out.
Soon.
Soon.
But soon is progress. It's not, no, it's soon, mm-hmm. you know. And mm-hmm. Carrie goes into her closet and the light goes on.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe Big doesn't want Carrie texting with Samantha.
Yeah. It's just like, blink, blink, blink. Yeah. She knows too much.
Yeah. I did like.
She's with Gloria.
I did like the choosing of this lamp because it does sort of look like a Pixar character. And they did sort of say that on purpose. They wanted a lamp that looked like something. Mm. And it does remind me of that lamp at the beginning of the Pixar movies that comes and jumps up and down. And yeah, so Carrie goes to, I wrote, an antique and or repair shop. And I guess it can kind of be both.
Listen, I have a story about a lamp repair. So Tom had this lamp that broke at his apartment and he wanted to go get it fixed. Number one, there's not a lot of lamp repair stores in the city in general. And we finally found one in Queens. We take the lamp there and I'm standing next to him and it's a nice Crate and Barrel desk lamp comparable to this. And the guy's like, great. So it's probably going to be $80. And Tom's like, okay, perfect. I was in shock at that price of fixing a lamp, but lamps are expensive. Like, that lamp in general was like a $200 lamp. And I was like, wow. So I'm just telling you that Carrie's probably going to pay a pretty penny for this.
Yeah. And I like her. I think this exchange is so weird, and I'm going to misquote it, but, like, the spirit of it is, like, is it common for lamps to go on and off? And the guy's like, that's strange. And she's like, it is, isn't it? It's the weirdest exchange, but I really like it.
It's like a weird exchange of trying to get someone to co-sign your bullshit.
And that's what it is. That's 100% what it is. She needs him to be like, it's probably a spirit. Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
But it's, like, usually you do that when you call your best friend and you're talking about, like, trying to, you know, be like, he did mean this when he texted me, right? But she's doing it with the random guy at the lamp. Yeah. I also like that she's chosen to ask that guy and doesn't trust the other guy. Like, she's, like, the guy that's, like, doing the lamp intake, I guess, as if the lamp is going into the hospital.
And so we have Anthony and with the hot fellas challah, and it's different. It's sourdough challah.
It's the only sourdough challah in New York City, and you know I researched this.
Okay, yeah.
And as far as I can find, it would be the only, like, available to the public, easy to get sourdough challah. There was, like, a baker in Brooklyn who years ago was making sourdough challah, but I don't think she was selling it.
Gotcha. It sounds delicious.
Yeah.
And Harry sort of dismisses it as hipster challah, and they're already pushing the limits. And so they decide to do a loaf of each on each table so that, you know, we'll have regular challah and sourdough challah.
Well, and I feel like with the they mitzvah in general, like, you can take some liberties now with things. Like, you know. And then we meet Rabbi Jen.
Rabbi Jen, Hari Neff. I know this actress mostly from Transparent. She was also on You. I don't watch that. I think you watch that, maybe.
I do watch it. I don't know where she was in You. I haven't seen the third season. And it's one of those shows that I watch all at once and then I forget what it was about.
Yeah, 100%. I love her. I love her. We'll get more to it later, but I love this actress.
Right. Well, she does a phenomenal job. I feel like she should win also awards for this.
Yeah.
She looks right out of Gossip Girl, like her outfit.
Yeah.
Which I guess, like, full circle moment, she looks right out of Gossip Girl. Dan Humphries, played by Penn Badgley, who is in You. She was in You. So
there you go.
6 degrees of Kevin Bacon.
Yeah. And she's not going to sugarcoat it. Great kid. Totally unprepared. Complete disaster.
Yeah. Rock is not off book.
Yeah. There's no way they'll be ready by next Saturday. They can cut the tour apart to two lines or do the service in English. And Charlotte can't accept that. And Anthony goes to talk to Rock.
Yeah. I love that Anthony calls Rock Rockefeller. At first I was like, is that Rock's full name? And then I was like, wait, no.
Probably not.
Rock did name themselves, so I'm not sure if Rock named themselves Rockefeller.
And I do like this moment where Harry realizes that this is why the rabbis bailed.
Mm-hmm.
And Rabbi Jen thinks the challah is delicious.
Yeah. And, you know, Anthony goes in there to pretty much tell Rockefeller that they have to learn their lines, that, you know, he had to do that when he had to step in as Sky Masterson in Guys and Dolls, and talking about, you know, theater being a hot... Did he say theater is a hotbed of homophobia? No.
I think theater's the theater camp.
Yeah. And the thing is, or, like, you wouldn't think that, but the thing is it actually is. Like, you know, hot take for a moment. How many times, it doesn't happen so much anymore, but I went to theater school, and you would hear all the time, like, boys, like, make sure to butch up, you know, make sure to straighten up,
absolutely.
Like you're not going to work. And if they think you're gay, which is outrageous, you know, and the same for the women. I mean, the shit the women go through too, but it's like, yeah, theater can be pretty homophobic.
Yeah. And it still is usually the hetero dudes that get the roles.
Yeah. Yeah. And it still is, like, don't, you know, very rarely is it, like, we were talking about this, Mike and I, when we were watching Broken Hearts Club, that, like, what a great movie, but there wasn't a lot of gay actors in it. And, like, we can't blame the production team for that, because so many actors were told to not come out of the closet.
Yeah, absolutely. And basically this ends with Anthony taking the remote and leaving and just saying, learn your lines.
I love Anthony's, like, take charge throughout this whole series. I love that he has, like, really softened up and, like, broken down, but also, like, taken charge of a lot of things.
Yeah, he's been a great character for this series. And Miranda's at a space of some sort. I have no idea where she is.
Miranda is at meeting Che's family at a Latin American restaurant in Soho called Her Name Was Carmen.
Okay.
And it is at 527 Broome Street.
Gotcha. All right. Well, she's very dressed up. She's very dressed for Easter dinner.
No, she is dressed like B. Arthur as Dorothy Spornak in The Golden Girls. Like, this is a 1980s/90s elderly woman's outfit.
Yeah, it's clearly purposeful. Like, she thought that she was meeting the family, and you are, and she's meeting the grandmas.
Mm-hmm.
And we just quickly get into, like, now we can start. And, like, start what? And Miranda is very confused. And I wrote, it's just three gray-haired ladies at a club.
At a club. And Che is going to do a concert, not a comedy concert, a singing concert, which, not gonna lie, love hearing Che sing, because I have not heard Sada Ramirez sing in a very long time.
Yeah, I wrote Che/Sada is going to sing.
Yeah.
So I'm excited about that. And it's California Girls, and it's not, I said it gets good once they go up the octave.
Yeah. And Che the musical, I don't know. I mean, I like that we got to hear them sing. The band in the background, all of it was just too much for me, and it was very Mamma Mia.
Yeah, it's a little strange. Miranda really does not know what is happening. She just keeps saying, like, what is happening? Do you know what's happening? What's happening?
Yeah, I didn't know. I don't know. And, like, the thing, too, is the thing that it reminded me of was the I Am Woman from the movie.
Oh, yeah, I can see that.
You know?
And basically, this is Che's way of announcing that they're going to California. They're making a pilot, and I wrote, Miranda is still confused.
She's like, I didn't know.
And you know what? It's fine. And I love Cynthia Nixon. Just the look on her face when Che is singing about, like, East Coast girls and that, like, you're talking about me face. I don't know. It made me a little bit crazy.
Listen, Rambo in this episode, there's just so many things that I'm like, how are you acting? You are a child. But I have to remember, she is, like we talked about before, like, she kind of is a child, you know, in a lot of ways.
Right.
She's like being reborn.
Well, I've always said before that when someone comes out, they're 13. Because you have to go back and do your adolescence again. Like, you're just hitting puberty. You just came out. You're just, so
well,
I guess maybe that's a bit of what's happening.
I don't remember if we mentioned this or not, but, like, also that's what they say a lot of times when you get sober.
Right. So it's the 1-2. We have both of those happening.
Right. I mean, but Miranda's sobriety was very easy.
Well, we can get to that too. But yeah, Che says it takes about a month to shoot and then they see if it gets picked up. The studio thinks that Che is the new Roseanne, but the good one from the 80s. And once again, I had no idea.
Yeah, I had no idea. And I like, yeah, Che is the new Roseanne. I kind of want to be the new Roseanne, but like the good one from the 80s too.
Right.
I think I have potential for that.
I can see that. I mean, it would be different. You know, you're not exactly like poor small town mom with lots of kids.
I can be anything I put my mind to.
That's true.
I am a waitress.
And Che didn't want to say anything until it got real. And it got real fast. And there wasn't time to say anything, but there was time to get a band together and practice.
Mm-hmm. And what can she say?
I just have lots of thoughts about, like, I didn't want to say anything until it got real. And I guess we haven't really established, because they're not dating, they're just getting to know each other. But if something big is happening in your life and you're seeing someone, I do think you bring it up, even if it's not real yet. But I guess that's just me.
Well, yeah, you kind of want to talk, especially, I mean, they're at a place where she would go with her. So I think that this would be a conversation they would have had where it's like, this thing is happening in my life. What do you think about it? Because I'm sure it just wasn't put on the table. And Che was like, yep, I'm doing it. I'm quitting everything else I have. Like, she should have talked it over with her partner.
Yeah, one would think. And I guess the thing that I like about this scene the most, because it feels the most honest, is Che admitting to being a narcissist.
I was going to say it's that Tony Danza is playing Daddy Che.
Yeah, I do like that. Yeah, Che flies off Saturday and Tony Danza is coming in to read for the dad. And there's more. Che wants Miranda to come to L.A. I had no idea. It's a weird scene. Everything
I just
with,
hate
yeah.
that. Like, that's what I hate. I hate Miranda's just, I had no idea. It's like, ugh.
Yeah. So Che is letting the podcast group know the podcast did what it was supposed to. And they're proud. And it's your show, your decision. And Jackie thought it was a bit.
Jackie thinks that it's a bit.
Yeah. And Carrie was just getting the hang of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a short scene.
Yeah, it's very short. And then Carrie and Jackie are walking home from work, I'm assuming. But Carrie is going the wrong way because they are at Madison Square Park. And if the studio is in Midtown, why is Carrie walking downtown to go uptown?
Well, we do just like Madison Square Park.
I know,
we're here
and
a lot.
I know that it's not like, you know, most people wouldn't notice that, but our listeners do like when we throw in the New York City stuff, so.
I'm now in a place where I can't remember if I'm talking about Bobby or Jackie because I'm saying the actor's name and the character's name, and I want to quickly just,
Perfect.
I want to quickly acknowledge that I have done that.
I think everyone does that. I've listened to a few podcasts talk about this, and people often say Bobby Lee.
Yeah, so I'll try to stick to Jackie.
But in the show, is he Jackie Lee?
Yes.
So I think maybe that's why it's confusing, too.
Yeah. And basically describing Rosie Perez's character from Fearless.
What do you mean?
He's talking about the plane crash and walking away from it. And Carrie says that's very specific. And he says, yes, it's Rosie Perez's character from Fearless. It's a movie that Rosie Perez was in and was nominated for an Academy Award for that I doubt that Jackie has ever seen. But okay.
Congrats, Rosie.
Yeah.
Best of luck in your chosen career.
I have a partner.
I have a partner too.
I think we have the same partner.
That's awkward.
It's not, because it's HelloFresh.
HelloFresh is America's number one meal kit. They deliver all the ingredients you need with the recipe cards and make it super simple so you can make super delicious recipes. They also deliver the pre-portioned ingredients so you're not overbuying, which is a burden on the planet and your wallet, and is super helpful when you have a mini fridge and a tiny Upper East Side studio.
Also, I love the variety. They have veggie varieties, they have calorie smart, they have family friendly, gourmet options. Honestly, the box arrived yesterday and I cooked something right away. I made the figgy balsamic pork with roasted carrots and thyme potatoes. And here's the thing. Anyone that knows me knows that I can get a little overwhelmed. And when I first opened the box, I will totally confess that I thought, I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to make this kind of food. I just followed the instructions and it was perfect.
Yeah. And when I opened the box, I was expecting to just see ingredients rolling around. And that's not the case with HelloFresh. Each recipe is individually packaged to make it super simple. So you just open the bag and everything you need is right there. Go to HelloFresh.com/WCHBW16 and use code WCHBW16 for up to 16 free meals and 3 free gifts. Once again, that's HelloFresh.com/WCHBW16 and use code WCHBW16 for up to 16 free meals and 3 free gifts. And once you get your HelloFresh and make it, share a picture with us. Tag us on social media. HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit.
And, you know, Carrie doesn't want to be site-specific friends. Jackie says it's cool that Carrie's coming to the party, which she knows nothing about. And then I just wrote, a guy runs by real slow.
Yeah, I noticed that too. And then he stops at the corner and keeps jogging. And it's so interesting that you say that, because I actually was watching all of these background performers thinking like, oh, he must have been directed to do that and then directed to continue to run. And he's very committed. So it's interesting that we both noticed. Good work. I hope that guy got a voucher.
So don't tell Smoke I forgot to invite you. And Carrie says that she'll be there. And we find out that Carrie quit smoking again. This is a really strange conversation, but it's funny. It feels like Sarah Jessica knows her lines. And Bobby/Jackie is kind of making stuff up, but who knows?
Or maybe everyone is. Yeah. Who knows?
And we're in Naya's office. Miranda's at the door. And mm-hmm. Miranda's made a big life decision, and she's still catching her breath.
Yeah, and she's not going to do her Human Rights Watch internship.
And, you know, Miranda's following her heart and trying to not second guess, and so I'm trying to let her do that.
Yeah, once again.
Because everything in me is screaming, you're making a horrible choice.
Right, but I think you and I both bring up valid points when we say, this is, if you think of it like a 13-year-old, right?
Right.
Like, I mean, gosh, I kick myself every day that I was like, I don't need a foreign language. I don't need to take math. I just need to take band and drama and power reading. It's like, no, like, but that's 15-year-old you making decisions, right?
And Naya was hoping to spend time with Miranda because Andre is going on tour. And we have a whole thing about them deciding to see what not being in the same space is like.
Andre Rashad took the tour, so I'm flying solo for the next bunch of months, and I pencil you and me in for a lot of those nights.
So is it just a tour, or?
You know, I'm not sure yet. We're just not in the same place emotionally right now, so we decided to see how not being in the same place physically would feel. It's a good thing. I think we need to feel what we might be throwing away for some baby we never even met.
And Carrie gets a call from Seema.
Mm-hmm.
But she's about to meet John's brother, and I'm glad to know that we didn't have...
James Naughton?
Yes, I'm glad to know that James Naughton wasn't just a one and done.
Yeah, and I'm also glad that we're never going to know John's brother's name.
Yeah, it's just John's brother.
Even on IMDb, John's brother.
Uh-huh. And Seema thinks that she really likes Zed. And it's a short conversation because Carrie has to go into the restaurant and she and Big's brother exchange how are yous.
And the restaurant that they are at... Oh, wait, we do know Big's brother's name, Richard.
Oh, okay. Does someone say Richard in there somewhere?
Well, on eater.com, which is the article that I use that says everywhere they ate, it says Carrie meets Big's brother Richard at this Jean Georges restaurant off the West Side Highway in Greenwich Village.
All right, nice.
Yeah, so they're at a restaurant called Perry Street. It's at 176 Perry Street. It's very expensive, I'm assuming. They refer to it on Eater as a $4 sign lunch, which means... pretty expensive.
And yeah, he wants to know where John is. He died. Yes, I know John died. Where are his remains?
The waiter, just something that I have to, you know, as a very good waitress, I must let you all know that the waiter has not greeted this table in a good amount of time.
Well, this is just one of those scenes that always a little bit stresses me out because they're taking up a table and they're obviously not going to actually have lunch.
Right. And yeah, the waiter hasn't come over to do their initial greet, which should be done within the first 2 to 3 minutes.
But I do think they were instructed to not do so by the director of this episode, so it's not their fault.
Right. Richard is now letting Carrie know that he has an idea of where they could place John's remains, and it's time for him to draw a picture.
What is this picture? I don't understand this weird little crypt map. It's so
unnecessary. It's completely unnecessary for him to draw it. But you know what's so funny is how often I pick up people's checks from work and on the back they've drawn similar things, not like of this, but where they're obviously like trying to show something to someone, like a layout of their apartment. But yeah, we didn't need to see it in that way. Also, I heard some people saying like, I thought he was cremated. Well, yeah, when you're cremated, you can still go into a vault or a crypt.
Yeah, and there's space in their family crypt in Connecticut, and we find out that he's getting a divorce, so there's room for Carrie. And I guess also this is sort of based in reality that one of the writers like was drawing up this picture and Michael Patrick King thought that was funny, so they used it, but I wouldn't mind a little more information. And she needs to think about where John would want to be, and we're told we're coming up on a year. Huh. So once again, we're doing our weird timing where I think that they thought that a spring semester started much later in the year than it actually does, which I guess would throw the entire timing off because, yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, we're not going to try to analyze Sex and the City's thinking.
Yeah, so Carrie's back at the antique slash repair shop and there was a bad wire and it's been fixed. And you can tell she's kind of disappointed.
It was a wire. And you fixed it.
Yeah.
Not a ghost.
And
okay.
Yeah. We're at Jackie and Smoke's party, and Smoke thinks Jackie is a fashion god. And they have to go do a thing.
Yeah.
And it turns out that it's a surprise wedding.
Yep. And we have to celebrate Jackie's blowout.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I will say, when you have a good blowout, you want to celebrate it.
And you can now kiss each other or do whatever will get the most likes on Instagram. And I get that it's kind of supposed to be funny, but I hate it.
Well, and also, like, we weren't led to believe that Jackie was this huge Insta celebrity. Like, that Jackie was some sort of influencer.
Yeah, I don't know. I get that people, I don't know. It makes me annoyed at everything.
But we do know Sex and the City loves a like little to no timeline for a wedding.
Yeah. And Frank is there. Now that was a kiss. Apparently he got a panicked phone call about an hour ago and Che was not invited.
Resentful.
Yeah. And Frank thinks that Carrie is a podcast and he'd like to produce her.
Sure.
Carrie is talking to the lamp. Mm-hmm. If you're trying to reach me, blink.
Yeah.
And she turns it off and after a moment it turns back on.
The lamp is still Johnning, I said.
Yeah. She turns it off again. And as she drifts off, we are taken to a Lancome commercial.
Yeah. Visions of Paris in the dream.
Yeah. And hello, it's me and the bridge. Carrie here. We do. I mean, you can hear Big. Mm-hmm. He is there. This is the scene that has been, you know, cut a bit.
And they had to reshoot it, right?
I don't know if they had to reshoot it. I think they just took out him being there.
Okay.
So we're at the Vey Mitzvah. We're at the big event. And Carrie says Big came to her in a dream last night. And I do like, I mean, it's bitchy, but Miranda being like, meaning you had a dream about Big?
I know. And I wrote, Miranda, relax. Like now, like good. Miranda has now turned into like, there is no magic in life. There is nothing can be fun. Nothing can be magical. Nothing like serendipitous and miraculous can happen. Everything. I mean, I want to be like, you went to a comedy concert and fell in love and are now traveling across the world with this person. Can't that be magic for you, Miranda? But no one else can have some peace in their life.
Well, it's just funny because this feels like Miranda to me, but it doesn't at all parse with the new Miranda that we're dealing with.
That's what I'm saying. Is it's like, choose your choice, Miranda.
And Carrie knows where he wants to be. Paris and their bridge. And she wants to be there for the anniversary. And she has flights and rooms, which once again, I'm like, you booked flights and okay.
This just makes me feel poor.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Carrie's not at all concerned.
That everyone just like has a, everyone like just knows about Paris and like has ideas for Paris and has been to Paris. And I'm like, I've never been to Paris. Mike?
Nope, never been to Paris.
Pack your bags.
I don't know. I mean, I would love to go, but I also get nervous if I don't speak the language.
I think we'd have a nice time.
Miranda has to check her schedule and Charlotte, this is, a lot happens kind of quickly that Charlotte sees the holub just being put out, but then suddenly LTW is there and she seems to think that sugar in the morning is bad, but isn't it better to have sugar in the morning? Because then they'll wear themselves out.
She's dressed like Norma Desmond from Sunset Boulevard.
Yeah. And Anthony brought the hot fellas to help and they're not Jewish, but they're all cut. And I'm not sure if Anthony should actually know that or not.
I don't really really even with those shorts, I don't think it's necessarily that he like asked. I think you could just find out.
And everyone, I did notice, I mean, I'm sure you did too. Everyone has like the rainbow yarmulkes on.
Mm-hmm.
And Harry says they have a situation. Rock does not want to go out there. They don't want to do it. They don't believe in any of it.
And this reminds me a lot of like the kids during a wedding. When it's like that you decide to let the kids be the flower girls or ring bearers. And they're always like, I'm not doing it.
And we get to Carrie and Miranda eating candy. And Miranda tells Carrie she's moving to LA. And this all starts to feel very Carrie the Russian and Paris mm-hmm. to me.
And that was, I think, intended, right?
I think so, too. Yeah. And we find out that Brady and Louisa are going to be backpacking through Europe.
Yeah. And Miranda during this whole thing is when you really see adolescent Miranda. It's like when you really see like Carrie kind of just being, because I don't think Carrie in these moments is like mad or angry at her. She's just an adult and Miranda's acting like, you know, Nellie Forbush, cock-eyed optimist.
I think even more than that, I think Carrie's kind of embarrassed.
Yeah.
I think that Carrie had this idea of like, we're going to go to Paris and I'm going to pay for it. And then has to deal with the idea that like, oh, no, you all have lives too. Like sort of asking and presuming. I think that she's a little sheepish about it.
Sure. Yes, I think she is. But I think she's also just like, oh, okay, this is what's happening.
And Carrie's washing up and Miranda enters. And for the record, this scene was added later on. They decided they needed a scene where you had a little bit more resolve between the two characters. Because Miranda enters thinking that she can make the trip work. And Carrie worries about Miranda being jet lagged. And Miranda says it's important for her to be there for both things. And we sort of bring up the internship. And why can't I choose love over an internship? And it does get a little, I think that when we get to Carrie saying, what are you going to do in LA all day? Laugh at what Shay says, which, yes, is exactly what Miranda's probably going to do.
Okay, that was a bit of judgment. Miranda, I have known you for 100 years.
And am I not allowed to change a little bit or a lot or change back again if I feel like it? Do I have to follow my own rigid rules until the day that I die?
I never said that.
Then why do I feel like I can't go to L.A. without letting you down?
If you want to go to L.A., go to LA. Why do you care what anyone thinks?
Because you're not anyone. You're you.
Hi, ladies.
And then out of nowhere, we get Rabbi Jen.
I love it. I love it so much. I love this scene. And did I put the voice to the right face?
And Rabbi Jen, you know, just to be clear, offers absolutely no advice, but it's just like,
none at all.
You gals seem like you're real good friends. Let me not wash my hands for the allotted time I'm supposed to wash my hands. She washes them for about 5 seconds. And it reminds me of this time when I was in college and this really scary female professor was in the bathroom stall and I didn't know it. And she heard me and my friends talking. And she's like, so what? And then out of nowhere, you hear her from the stall go, so what do you plan on doing this summer? And I said, well, I'm actually going to go away and do some summer stock. And then you just hear Flush, her walk out, look at me and go, well, don't let the dream die.
Well, that's advice, at least.
Yeah.
And I like the paper towel confusion.
Yeah.
And, you know, Rabbi Jen has a wedding at Bushwick at 3. So we're back with Rock and what do you want? And they don't want to be labeled as anything.
Mm-hmm. Not even a New Yorker. And that's the one that really gets Charlotte.
Yeah, that's the one.
And Harry is bribing Rock with some really expensive electronics.
Is that in this scene? Because that makes me a little insane.
That's before. No, that's before. It opens.
That makes me a little bit crazy.
Yeah, it opens with Harry saying, like, what do you want? Do you want an Oculus, which is one of those VR
right.
headsets? I actually used one. My nephew got one for Christmas, and I pretended like I was on a roller coaster. An Apple Watch, which I'm surprised Rock doesn't already have an Apple Watch.
Yeah, Charlotte goes to Lisa, and she's failed as a mom and as a Jew. And Lisa tells Charlotte she works harder than anyone, and what does she want? And we get Charlotte back in there with Rock and Harry and saying, someone is getting they mitzvah today. And it ends up being Charlotte.
Yeah.
And I love how happy Lily looks for Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
Lily's maybe the best kid.
I'm obsessed with, even though Lily ruined a lot,
yeah.
I am obsessed. She's definitely like, you know, come back around.
Yeah.
And Charlotte is getting bat mitzvahed. Rock joins, comes up and joins. And do you know about this suit that Rock is in?
I don't.
So this, you've listened to Michael Patrick King's podcast?
Yeah.
Okay, so they didn't talk about it on that podcast then. The and just like that, Costumes Instagram did a live, and they said that this suit was actually for Willie Garson.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, and Willie didn't wear it in the show, It's not one of, like, his old suits, but this suit was intense. Like, it was on the rack of clothes for Willie Garson.
Oh.
That they put Rock in.
I love that.
So it's kind of like their little homage. Yeah, and I love that Rock joins. I love that, of course, Charlotte knows all of the prayers.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, there's a lot of times when it's like, you hear it a lot with the kids with pageants, right? Where it's like, they don't want to do the pageant, but their mom wants them to do the pageant. And actually, I think this is probably the way that the bat mitzvah should have been.
Yeah, I like the quick, you know, Carrie in the background with our little girl is a woman now. Mm-hmm. And I will also say that Rabbi Jen says Harry, but I heard Carrie, and I'm surprised that's never happened to me before.
Mm. And I did worry for a minute. I was like, wow, so much money being... I always think of that whenever people are like, the wedding was called off, and I just think of all the money. But I guess, you know, Charlotte did get a thing out of it, too. And they have enough money.
So what I wanted to say earlier about you talking about Charlotte being Charlotte mm-hmm. is that I totally agree with you. But I also love this moment where it's Charlotte up on stage reciting the Torah with her, like, not perfect looking, like, quote unquote, husband mm-hmm. and her adopted daughter and her child who is gender nonconforming. And the idea of Charlotte from, say, season one of Sex and the City having such love for this family that probably looks nothing like what she thought her family and her life was going to look like, I find that so moving.
Mm-hmm.
I find it, like, so beautiful that this woman is so happy in this life that looks, I'm assuming, nothing like what once upon a time she thought it was going to look like. So I just want to take a moment to acknowledge that because I find it to be very, very moving.
But also very Charlotte, I think.
Yeah, yeah, you know, but just not the Charlotte that we once thought the Charlotte would be, you know, I guess is all that I'm trying to say.
And that's the story of our life.
Yeah. So we get Carrie, Miranda, and Charlotte, and Charlotte finds out that Miranda's going to LA with Che, and how did I not know about this? See, I'm not the only one. And Miranda's in love, and Charlotte's happy for Miranda and says it'll just be Carrie and her.
And then Carrie's like, never mind. Just me.
Well, you know, I think she's like, you've brought me this far. I can do it on my own. And I do like Charlotte telling Miranda that she owes her a trip to Paris.
Yeah. I mean, do you think it's because Carrie and Charlotte are not as close? I don't know. Or
I think that the revelation that Miranda's not going to be there just made Carrie kind of go, oh, you know what? I think that I should be doing mm-hmm. this. I think that I can do this on my own.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now we're outside the Hobbs residence. And I honestly did not notice her hair right away, which is, I know, is kind of crazy.
Oh, I did. I just wrote, Miranda's back to red.
Yeah. Brady has his stuff, and Miranda says the car will be there in 1 minute. Yeah, her hair is red again, and I do like what happened to the gray pride. And she felt like changing it up again.
Yeah. And he's like, you're just trying to be like me. I'm like, well, no. And
she did it first. Yeah. Yeah.
And then the cab driver is coming, right? Like, or the Uber driver, whomever they've called.
Yeah.
And Miranda looks so longingly at that cab driver that I was like, is Che driving that car? Because the way Miranda looks out at that car, she's like, I'm doing it.
I was going to say that was very good. That was a very nice visual cue for our podcast.
Thank you.
So we're on the bridge in Paris. And I said, maybe I'm done with this song forever.
Hello, it's me.
I don't need to ever hear this song ever again for the rest of my life.
Okay, noted.
That's all. And Carrie has her puffy orange dress with pink gloves. It reminded me a little bit of Gaga at the Oscars in 2015.
It reminded me of Rainbow Sherbert.
Oh, delicious.
Mm-hmm.
And she has her Eiffel Tower purse and she scatters the ashes and goes to leave. And I'm kind of amazed there wasn't like a picture of this anywhere. So good on whoever didn't let this leak.
Okay, but we need to talk about the way she scatters those ashes. Number one, she like scatters them as if it's me when I'm coming home from the beach and I have too much sand in my bag and I'm like outside just trying to shake it all out. Like, it's not a very like nice moment. She just kind of like shakes them out, and she's also just carrying them, like just letting them like roll around in that purse.
Well, what I will say about that is I've heard from more than one person that scattering of ashes is never as pretty as they show it on movie and TV. That it actually is kind of like a not romantic process. So in a way, I sort of appreciated that.
And also this purse, it's a Timmy Woods purse, and it is the same purse that Carrie carries in the movie when her and Big are looking for an apartment.
Yeah.
And that original purse, however, Patricia Field sold in like a pop-up boutique for like $3,000.
Gotcha.
But they got another one. But a lot of, I mean, this purse is expensive, but a lot of Timmy Woods bags are pretty reasonable.
And so Carrie stops and decides to send a message to Samantha. And I'm in Paris. Want to meet for a cocktail? And we get back. How's tomorrow night?
I thought Samantha was in London.
Yeah, but there's a train.
Oh, is it really quick to get from Paris to London?
Yeah, Paris to London's not that crazy of a trip.
Oh, idiot alert.
And we're back at the studio with Carrie, who is taking a call. And the whole like, okay, all right, we have to get through this. But I'm just saying, like, the whole like, what happened? And Carrie says, I have no idea. And do you think Carrie's going to answer every call with no idea?
I loved this so much that this guy's like, you always just know what to say. You're so great with the callers that come in. And then the first call comes in and she's like, sorry, girl, can't help you.
It's not even the first call. It's probably the last call of her first show.
I don't know.
And like, I just want to know that every caller is like, I just don't know what to do. And Carrie's always like, the longer I live, the more I'm just mystified by things.
I just don't know what to do. Neither do I.
Neither do I. Yeah, we're really in this together. Or if you figure it out, let me know, though. Give me a call back.
Yeah, right.
I don't know that Carrie's great at this, but it's all right. And we do get to this a podcast, and the podcast is called Sex in the City. So there you go.
Mm-hmm.
And it couldn't have gone any better, and it could have, and it will. And what happened to it couldn't have gone any better.
And then what we knew from the very beginning.
Yeah, we have a moment. Yeah, what we knew. And it's funny how Michael Patrick King, they finally did talk a lot more about this actor, that I guess they called the casting agency and said, who's like the best person you have that no one knows anything about? Because they wanted it to be as though he's just the hottest extra you've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
So that you didn't suspect it, but, you know.
Right.
No, we kind of knew. And it doesn't make it less satisfying. You know, they have their passionate kiss in the elevator and just like that. And that's it. That's how it ends.
Yeah. I mean, I think that if we weren't supposed to know that he did a lot of background, like he did a lot of character development. And he really, like, you know, the same way we talked about how Miranda thanks the waiter every time. It's kind of the same thing where every moment Franklin got, he was like, I'm going to give Carrie a look. And so that's how we were kind of able to figure it out. I mean, we don't know what happened with Samantha at that drinks. I hope it went well. I mean, you're right. There are a lot of things that we don't know, but I do think it was wrapped up relatively nicely.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they did a good job. And we could talk about the series for a lot longer, but I do want us to save it. We will do like an overall recap of some point.
Yeah.
So yeah, well, let's wrap this up by, I guess I couldn't help but wonder which Miranda is going to prevail. The Miranda that thinks that you should change and follow your heart and do what your dreams tell you to do, or the one that can't possibly believe in heaven or that there is any kind of spirituality in this world?
I think it's going to be a mix of that. And I guess I couldn't help but wonder what was happening with that tray at that restaurant.
It's a very strange service.
Yeah.
It's a very odd service. So we're going to leave it there. We both have a lot more to say about this episode and about the series, but we'll be back not next week, probably, but let's say the week after.
Mm-hmm.
But that's going to give everyone time. Send questions, send thoughts,
yeah.
And we'll, send ideas.
And we'll also watch the documentary, and maybe that'll be another episode or something else, but we'll let you know.
Yeah, we'll definitely cover the documentary. We'll cover the whole season again, and so send us all your stuff. Send us everything you got. It's been a very interesting journey. I've mostly enjoyed it.
Me too.
But yeah, we'll get more to that later. Thank you for listening. And thanks, Elise Castle.
Thank you, Mike Jensen. All right, we'll talk soon.
All right. Talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.
For more information, like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram at We Couldn't Help But Wonder with no caps, no spaces, and no punctuation, and Twitter at WCHBW Podcast. And don't forget to check out my new podcast with Vanya Arslanian, Mike and Vanya Can't Not. You can follow Elise at EV Castle and me at MikeJensen77. We would love if you would share this podcast with someone, put up a link or tell a friend, take a moment and rate us on Apple Podcasts, or even better, write a review there. Most importantly, stay safe, and let's all take care of each other. We'll be back in a few weeks to wrap up this season.
I saw Tony Danza in Honeymoon in Vegas.
Yes, I did as well. That's a nice aside, Elise.
Hold me closer, Tony Danza. Well, I was just thinking that if we did make Che the musical, Tony Danza does have experience on Broadway.
That is true.
Good work. I hope that guy got a voucher.
Or his equity card eventually.
His equity card. SAG card.
SAG.
Well, I wrote, we are at Storm and Jackie's party. So I'm glad that I got that name right.
Yeah.
Yeah.